Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, during Sprague here. Hope you got a little espresso in your system or whatever gets you going. Happy Friday, everybody. Durton Sprague on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. 1080 AM. We are on YouTube today.
We are.
Look at that.
Well done.
Brandon Henson, everybody.
Got the job done. TC being over there.
Oh, my gosh.
Just lucky today, guys. That might change next week.
Well, it's like golf. Better to be lucky than good. We got a lot to get to today. It's a loaded second hour. Catch us on the YouTubes as well. The poll question is up. We have Tom Dundon cheap nicknames that we posted. Let me see if I can find it. We got Tommy Two Nickels. These are the options here. Tightwad Tom, Scrooge McDundon, Tommy Two Cheap.
I have officially voted. I've cast my vote.
Did you?
It was not easy.
It's
those
a
are
tough
all
one.
Great options.
Yep.
My favorite is Scrooge McDundon. Scrooge McDundon got my vote.
Somebody sent us the Tommy Pickles GIF and said, Tommy Nichols? Yeah. I'll tell you why, and I'll share that with you sometime here in the second hour. Before we get going on the Blazers and the Spurs series, got a couple stats for you, and then we'll talk about it. Want to remind you to join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes are on sale now between the morning and afternoon rounds, so hurry up. They fill up fast. We'll be at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. It's the sixth hole on the course. We'll all be hanging out at the Fan on that one, heckling and admiring your tee shots, and we'll all get Matt's Barbecue. Brandon, I hope you're able to come out there this year because Matt's Barbecue, their brisket.
Oh, phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
I'm a sucker for barbecue.
Dude, that sounds the brisket
amazing.
Is so juicy. You can head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. And the Fan Golf Classic is presented by Toyota. It's also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. So we got our Blazers-Spurs series. It's going to tip off this weekend on a Sunday.
Sunday night, 6 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to it. I think I have a nice casual Sunday ahead of me. And
yeah.
I think a 6 o'clock wind down. Hopefully dinner's kind of already been eaten at that point.
And yes, it's perfect. Kind of wind down. You're only cleaning dishes, but you can do it at halftime if you need to, right? Like, you're good to go.
I'm aiming to have everything done. Like,
ooh,
I'm
dinner, dishes, everything done for the weekend. Sit down, watch Moops.
Go upstairs, make whoopee with the wife, go to sleep. Like, that's the Sunday plans. Keep your fingers crossed, everybody. We all need it.
Do we still call it whoopee?
I want to bring it back.
Whoopee should be brought back.
You know, it sounds...
What are you doing? Make him whoopee.
Yeah, it sounds like forbidden and cool at the same time.
Are whoopee cushions still a thing?
I don't think they're
Do kids thing. Still do whoopee cushions?
I think they're at $1.50 stores now.
I feel like if I got Teddy Ballgame a whoopee cushion, he would think that's the coolest thing of all time.
Well, he's your son, so he'd love farts. Yes, I think you're accurate on that. Yeah.
I might do this. I got a weekend idea now. I got to go find myself a whoopee
Test
cushion.
Test the theory.
Yeah, I think I'm onto something here.
You should do it to him first. Just see
Oh, have
reaction.
Him sit not knowing what he's sitting on. He might freak out at first, he but might. As long as I'm laughing, I think I'll get a chuckle out of him.
So Blazers Spurs, 6 o'clock on Sunday. Looking forward to this one. I saw this one from Kirk Goldsberry, who was on the Zach Lowe podcast.
Yes, what did he say?
Every team in the NBA, every team. So take the worst team, the best team.
Yes.
Every team's effective field goal percentage is between 52 and 58.
Got it.
Okay? Those are all the combined percentages that shoot. There's your percentage. Okay? Every team. When Victor Wembanyama's on the court, the opposing team shoots 50. So quite literally,
below.
When Victor Wembanyama plays defense, your offense is worse than the Nets.
That's why he should be Defensive Player of the Year.
No, he is.
He's
I mean, that's
7'4" and he patrols the floor like a 7'4", like no other 7'4" player ever has.
You can make an argument. It's tough to compare positions and players, certainly. And I will hear all arguments, but
yeah,
I mean, Dirt, we could just make an argument. Let's take the Hideout. It's probably the greatest defensive player in our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
In our lifetime.
It's not enough big enough sample size probably yet for people, but just when you watch him, he can do things because of his athletic ability and his size that nobody else has ever been able to do in the NBA.
He hasn't even won a DPOY yet, and I'm like,
no.
He's the best defender.
Like, there's guys who can block shots or can be good rebounders. That's fine, but he also has enough length and quickness to be able to not be a sieve.
To get switched.
Away from the hoop and just be a horrible... Like, that's been a problem for Rudy Gobert for years, where we know how good of a rim protector he is, but if you bring him out of the paint, it's like, dude, he's on ice skates out there and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And so I go back to, on that note, I mean, that's an incredible stat that shows the impact that he has when he's on the floor.
Dude, worse than the Nets is
wild,
a mind-blowing thing to hear, because the Nets, I don't know if you know,
are really bad at basketball.
Trotted out like six rookies to run their
I remember when we
rotations.
Played in Brooklyn and thinking to myself, I don't know any of these guys.
Wolf, Michigan and, guy, that's it.
I'm a radio host and I can't name you any of these players. They it goes back to, though, I remember we talked about this with Denny going into the play-in game, about how many times will he get to the foul line. Like, I was just curious to see what the change would be in his game, if at all, because we know that's a focal point of his.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to the free throw line. Now, he had a great night shooting the ball. He did get to the free throw line, but it was a byproduct of a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just take that same conversation and then you switch it and pivot it to, how is he going to be finishing around the rim? Because that's unquestionably the strength of his offensive game.
Yeah.
Is going downhill and getting to the hoop against a team who has maybe the best rim protector, if not the best, in the entire NBA.
Yes.
And Cornette, who is also a very serviceable big who can be a good defender in the paint as well. And it just, that to me is one of the more interesting parts of this matchup in this series, is can Denny still be as effective as he has been at moments in this season when you have Wemby that's out there for 40 minutes a night patrolling the paint?
So I was trying to go through last night, and I want to make sure I counted this right. He has not... I don't believe, yeah. Oh, okay. He fouled out. I went through it because you have to get him in foul trouble, right?
That's your biggest hope.
He fouled out one time this year, and it was at the Lakers, and he has about five foul games the rest of the year. He averages 2.4 fouls per game.
When he played 65 games on the dot, right?
Here's a fun stat for you. Let me give this one to you because I also saw this and I started laughing. He averages 3.6 blocks per game. He averages 2.4 fouls per game.
So more blocks than fouls per game.
Insane.
That's nuts.
Insane.
Because usually we see bigs, like even the best of bigs, Shaq used to routinely, I feel like, get into foul trouble. And he'd be like, oh, right. Shaq's in foul trouble.
Right. Klingon dealt with this a lot last year in his first year in the league,
yes.
Where you're like, you're always in foul. Because you're just fouling guys going to the hoop and you don't really know how to move and position and do the things you need to do.
So, like, we know a lot of this is going to be about Denny for Portland, like on the Portland side of it. Certainly.
Yeah.
That's not breaking news to anybody. When we talk about this matchup, this series, and I'm much more of a react than preview guy personally. I just like to see stuff and... We can all give our thoughts going into it. It is an easy, easy conversation for me. It is far more about anybody else than it is Denny.
Yeah.
Denny might get bottled up. Denny might be below on his averages on the season. If I tell you that, none of you out there are surprised by it, right? The Spurs focus in and say, we limit Denny Avdia and he doesn't shoot 10-plus free throws per game.
Yeah.
We'll be in great shape to win this series quickly. I know what Jrue Holiday's going to give me. That I know. Is Tamani going to continue to shoot the ball well? I didn't think he played on offense particularly well against Phoenix.
No, but he was good defensively.
And he was great defensively, but he has a little bit of he's in a little bit of foul trouble here. If Tamani gets in foul trouble, because I would imagine you're having Tamani Kamara guard Victor Wembanyama.
I would tend to think so.
You're not putting Donovan Clingan on him.
No, I would tend to think Tamani's got to be your guy there.
I think Jeremy's going to see time on him, Tamani, and I think they're going to put Drew on it once in a while.
Yeah, the Clingan matchup in this series is very interesting to me because he, on the other end of the floor, if you're going to have Wemby who's focusing on Denny coming downhill and attacking the hoop, and he's going to want to protect that and not let him finish around the rim, you would imagine, again, unless they're switching and just having different guys guard different guys,
mm-hmm.
that Klingon's going to be left open a lot, and he's going to have to knock down some threes. Like, I see San Antonio saying, Klingon, if you want to beat us from the three-point line, you can. We're going to sag off you because Denny's coming downhill the entire game. And if that's going to be the case, Klingon's going to have a good series shooting the basketball. When you go back and look to the Kamara stuff, if he's going to guard Wemby, we talk about this with Wemby on the other side with the fouls per game. He's only fouled out once.
I think he has to guard Wemby.
He has to. He has to stay out of foul trouble.
No doubt.
Has to. When they blew leads late or they would lose games late, like Kamara getting into foul trouble.
The Denver game.
And not playing at the end was a big part of them losing. Like, Kamara has to be smart. He had a couple late in the Phoenix game. Because it started to tick up a little bit. He didn't foul out of the game, but there was one late that was just like, why? That one. That was a kind of dumb foul. Mm-hmm. He just has to be really smart. There's going to be times when there's nothing you could do about it, or Wemby gets in your kitchen and you end up getting whistled for it. Like, that'll happen throughout the course of the game. Don't do anything dumb in terms of just reaching in randomly in the backcourt and getting a foul that's not necessary.
Yeah, I think the matchups and how they're going to play everybody, and I still worry, even if Donovan's not guarding Wemby, which I... Once in a while, you'll get like a random down low matchup just because of the way that they're, you know, setting their actions. But for the most part, I'd imagine you're having a Tamani. When Donovan is on him, you know Wemby's probably going to attack, knowing he can bait him into an easy foul. Because what does Donovan like to do? He likes to block shots.
Get him up in the air. Boom. There you go.
What did Wemby do this summer? He went and worked with Hakeem Olajuwon. Like,
damn it, Hakeem.
Yeah, the dream out there just giving
bastard.
Away all the tips, man.
Stop it.
And so, like, the footwork is going to be stellar, and how quickly is he going to get Donovan Kling, excuse me, into foul trouble? And those are things I worry about. The Denny stuff, like, it's so easy, I think, for teams to go one of two ways here, right? It's either, oh, let the star do it, we'll shut everybody else down, or shut the star down.
Let everybody else beat you.
Yeah, let's see if Tamani Kamara can beat us.
Right.
Is Shaedon Sharpe going to average 22 points per game because he shoots the ball really well?
Last time they were in San Antonio, Scoot had a pretty good game.
If I was to ask you guys, okay, we all on this show, we've been watching the Blazers all year. If I was to ask you guys, somebody in San Antonio asks you, what would you tell a coach, just as a fan, as somebody watching games, what is the key to you? Because if I was asked, hey, what would you say about this? I'd say, slow down, Denny. You win the game.
Without it.
Other way around.
Especially when you're in San Antonio. I think there's a fear, and maybe this isn't rational or there's actually not numbers behind it to back it up. There's the idea of role guys on a home floor in a playoff game getting hot. Not that it's never happened on the road.
No, but we've certainly seen it in the playoffs.
But my fear would be bigger in Portland of all these other guys getting hot and the crowd gets into it and Kamara's 7 of 9 from three and here comes Kling and Scoot's having a great game.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to that building sounding like a jet engine saying, we're gonna cut off your main pipeline. And then say, go ahead, Scoot Henderson. We'll leave you open from three all night if you can make shots.
Yeah.
Like, that would absolutely be my philosophy if I were San Antonio.
Like, I thought Matisse had this moment. I think it was either the second or the third quarter of the Phoenix game, right? Matisse Thybulle's come back. He's playing good defense. He's okay on offense. Not amazing, but he has his moments, right?
Yeah.
Because of the threat he can have, he had a pump fake moment. Dude bit on it. Got right past him, drew a foul. And I remember saying to myself, watching on the couch, I'm letting him shoot. Why am I going for an up fake on Matisse Thybulle?
Go ahead, buddy.
Now you're putting us, they've got dominoes on you, right? They've got the advantage. They can move the ball around and find the open man.
Yeah.
And that's what I wonder. You know, if Orlando loses tonight in the play-in against Charlotte, do you know we are the worst three-point shooting team in the playoffs? Like, of all the teams.
It's not good.
Do you know who the next closest team is? The Sixers.
Yeah.
So, like...
not a strength of ours.
You average, I think I want to say on the season, Portland averages the fourth most three-point attempts. Yeah, they average the fourth most three-point attempts of all the teams in the league. The teams above them are the Celtics, the Hornets, and the Warriors. So you might have two playoff teams there. But for me, when you look at the averages... if you can just put an extra couple bodies, take away the right driving lane of Denny, I'm sitting there all day if I'm San Antonio.
Fire away, guys.
If Jeremy Grant's going to have a 35-point night,
right?
All right. If Drew Holiday's going to be 6 of 8 from 3, if Shaedon Sharpe's going to be 5 of 8 from 3, like, I'm just living with that more than I think the way the team operates is Denny drive, Denny get free throws, Denny feel good, Denny score ball. But if Denny can't do that, it feels like there's just, well, I don't know why I do that to him, but when he drives, I just have like this caveman.
That's what's happening in his head.
Denny score ball.
Denny's going to take it to the
Denny dominates you, bitch.
Here comes Turbo.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm Turbo. Yeah. I just kind of have that. But if he doesn't, I would just tell any other on the other side, like, if he's taken out, all right, are the others going to get it going? And it's not a real confidence factor, I think, on the Portland side of that being the winning recipe.
Well, and then you also have the Denver game where they made a franchise record in threes and they still found a way to lose.
They still lost.
Even in games late in the year where they've shot the ball really well.
You know why they also lost?
They found a way to win.
Denver has one of those unicorns. You know who else has a unicorn?
Yes.
San Antonio.
You scored a ton of points. You just couldn't get stops when you needed to. And I think the thought of missing a bunch of threes, especially early in the game, like this game to me is a big first half game where, like, if you're down, I don't see you fighting your way back into it, especially on the road.
Okay.
But if you come out and you shoot the ball poor and you're giving up long rebounds and the crowd's into it and that kind of tidal wave comes over you a little bit, then my pucker factor would be high of, uh-oh, this thing could get out of hand in a hurry. Like, we talked to our buddy Minix yesterday in San Antonio. They are not threatened at all by Portland. They think this is going to be a four-game coronation.
I did a hit on his
first
show,
round. Yeah.
And it was basically like he introed me in. You know, Brandon, we know the series isn't going to go long. Yeah. You like bacon on your burger? And I just like, oh.
Oh, okay, we're doing that, huh?
Keep sleeping on us, Minix.
I don't want to be Dave Softy Mahler, but you've kind of teed me up to be Dave Softy Mahler.
I have to be. I think the first half and the start of this game is really important. Like, you find yourself down by 15 in the second quarter, and you're not shooting the ball well. Are you digging out of that hole against San Antonio?
They're one
with Wemby on the other side. Like, you got to get off to a good start.
Yeah, I'd like to look this up of leads blown this year. That's a tough stat to find. Like, where San Antonio ranks on it.
Sure, in terms of having a double-digit lead that they let slip away.
Yeah, like,
and I mean, though they lost 20 games all year, how many of them were games where they had a big lead?
To me, it's not even about, like, you winning the game if you come back from a 15 to 20. It's like, how many of those games did they lose?
Right.
Because that could be you see it all the time in the NBA. We just saw it in the Phoenix game. We had a 24-4 run.
Yeah, it went both ways.
Instantly followed up and concluding with an 18-5 run.
Portland had a double-digit lead, then Phoenix had a double-digit lead, and then we came back and won the game.
So because of the way basketball is played now, these runs are crazy and insane, and you're like, well, that's it. And then you go on that same run right after it. So
I think the difference, though, in this case is they have a unicorn.
Yeah.
And when you have a unicorn, that just becomes far more challenging.
No doubt.
Because when their offense hits a rough patch, what do you do?
Right.
Give it to him and get out of the way. How are you going to stop him?
We've also seen our offense be a bit of a struggle bus.
It goes in lulls.
It has its
lulls.
There's
a couple of lineups that they can use that there's just not a lot of firepower offensively, and they better be very good defensively.
Where are you guys at on the series? As it's a Friday. It's a fast break Friday. Feeling good. We at least got playoff basketball to watch and get ready for this weekend, so I'm excited about it. You can chime in at 503-864-6326. We got more on this, and we'll get to on the other side. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan. A funny follow-up from our conversation earlier in the first hour of, you know, does your wife lose things, like the phone specifically? I think all three of us experience our wives lose their phones quite often. And it's usually, like, right next to where my wife is. And I'm like, it was right there.
Yeah, it was right.
It's on your nightstand.
It's right there. I'm going to find this in 30 seconds. Are you really done searching? Because I promise you, this is not going to take me very long.
So,
if you want my help, I'm going to make fun of you.
I'll just say this. A coworker texted us because I don't want him to die.
No.
And I will not name him.
Anonymous sources are telling us.
Dude, I will not say Dusty's name. And I will just say that his wife heard us talking about this and, like, scoffed at it. And then he said
on.
She walked out the door without her phone.
We don't lose our phones, which is red flag number one of if you're scoffing at the conversation, it means there's a little internal guilt. You know that you do it too.
I also, the only reason I say that on the air is because she very well could counter to him and say, I ran hood to coast with him in the van. I can't tell you how many times Brandon lost stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I was asking people all day, you guys see my shoes? You guys seen my headphones? That was me in the Hood to Coast van the entire time.
I feel like that's a strength of mine. I don't ever really lose anything.
I lose way too much stuff.
I always put my things in the right spots. I know where they're at whenever I need it. Very, very rarely will I get a situation where I'm in a panic.
Mine is hats. You'd think I have a hat rack in my closet.
How do you lose hats?
Because what happens is I get home, I'll end up taking a nap. take it off, lay down on a couch.
Right.
I have multiple couches, right? Or I go upstairs. I just, yeah. And then now stuff is piled on it.
Yeah. The
and like
pillows
2 weeks
on
later,
top.
Oh,
like,
that's where that hat was.
I was looking for that one,
that's
man.
Right. I remember that nap. So the Blazers and Spurs will tip off on Sunday. And whether they have a chance or not, I know some fans out there think they can push this, make this a real series. And the reason is because experience. Spurs haven't gone through this.
Yeah.
No.
The majority of our team hasn't either, but, you know.
Yeah.
We got a couple of guys who have.
Do you take in big games outside of the NBA into consideration for you're not worried about certain players, or do you separate the NBA playoffs from let's use two players in this that were teammates? Stephon Castle, Donovan Klingon.
Yes.
What did they do together?
National championship.
Playing on a basketball court in a football stadium with...
It's a pretty big game.
Millions of eyeballs watching you. That's pretty high-stakes, pressure-packed yeah. basketball. Victor Wembanyama, what he did over there in France before he came over. He played in the gold medal game. And
right.
Steph Curry, LeBron, Kevin Durant.
In his home country, Olympics. By the way.
In his home country.
Right.
So, like, do you put stock into that? Or do you say, no, this is different. Like, this league is the league of leagues. And it's one thing to do it there. It's another to get on this stage
yeah.
when you haven't done it before, being on NBC at 6 o'clock.
It's funny. I think there is truth to both sides of the argument, where it's a different animal because in a gold medal situation, right, it's one game. I know the tournament, it's single elimination, so it's a different kind of animal. A seven-game series is just a different beast because you're playing the same team over and over again. They're going to find matchup advantages that they like. We're going to find things that we like or weaknesses that they have, and you mm-hmm. start attacking them, and can you make adjustments? And so it's a bit of a different animal, and it's hard to compare to other, you know, whether it's the Olympics with round robin play and then into the medal round or an NCAA tournament, which is certainly a ton of pressure because every game is an elimination game. I think it has to count for something. I don't know, maybe this is an OKC thing from a year ago, and I'm not trying to act like they didn't have any playoff experience 2 years ago, but 2 years ago, they barely had a cup of coffee. They were the one seed. They lost in the second round of the playoffs. They won one playoff series, and then they were bounced in round number two. And this, I remember, was a narrative, and I even used it at times of like, yeah, I got to see you do it, right? Like, I haven't seen you climb up the mountain that far. You didn't even get to the conference finals. And what did OKC do last year?
They won it.
And how many guys did they have with a deep, legitimate, long resume of a playoff appearances? It's a bunch of young cats who had only been there basically one time, and they got bounced in the second round of the playoffs. And so there are some guys with playoff experience on their roster. I also chuckle at the notion of it being a massive advantage because outside of Drew Holiday.
My Jeremy.
Yeah.
Drew, Jeremy, we looked that up.
Jeremy haven't played a game in April in 6 years. So
well,
I get that he's
know,
been there
he's
before,
had
but
enough of the
I'm
games.
Not going to act like he's going through it year in and year out. That was the first time he'd played a game in April in a Blazer jersey. He's
yeah,
been here since before COVID.
It's not like he came
I
in
know.
And is like, oh, I've never been on this stage. You gave us the stat yesterday.
I know. I'm just saying, I think it's a little overblown in terms of an advantage for Portland. Because outside of Drew Holiday,
oh, I don't know if it's
title,
an advantage for Portland. Right, I'm not saying it is.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying some Blazer fans are going down that road of liking us in the early in the series because San Antonio isn't quite sure what to expect and all that. When a huge chunk, Denny Avdia's never been in a legitimate playoff series.
No.
Kamara's never been in a playoff series. Mm-hmm. Shaden, who, by the way, had the highest plus minus off the bench, has never been in a playoff series.
Yeah, Scoot, Shaden, all
Scoot and all of them. So Robert Williams, Drew Holiday, you want to give me Jeremy Grant in the past?
Yeah.
By all means, do it.
But they also have Cornette, Fox.
Right, guys who haven't won titles necessarily,
Barnes.
But they've been Barnes has
yeah.
won a championship. Like they've.
I think Vassell was at the... They're playing stuff before they kind of like hit the skids before Wimby.
So that's the only thing. I just, you know,
you don't think the experience thing is any
I don't think
part
it matters
of the series.
At all. I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that matters is they have a unicorn and can we do anything about that unicorn? If the unicorn plays to the unicorn levels, I just don't see the pathway forward. But as we've seen with other stars in bigger moments, LeBron got shut down by J.J. Barea, and I would have never thought that was going to happen. So I guess you never say never.
It can happen. Also to the Thunder point, like, I also don't want to memory hole that series. They very well could have won that series against the Mavs. Luka just hit
yeah,
them
it was
big
just crazy.
Moments with Kyrie, right. And they got over that hump.
Well, you can play it vice versa, too. They very easily could have lost to Denver in the second round last year, and they very easily
yes.
could have lost to Indiana in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, no doubt
Both
about it.
Both of those were seven-game series.
No doubt about it. I just think the beauty of the league is if you think San Antonio is the massive favorite, which all the numbers say that they are, like this is a minus, you know, 13, 1,200, whatever it is in Vegas. If that's your feeling... Run with it.
Yeah.
But I think the way the league is structured, you can debate if they have enough talent to add two more teams, and that's certainly fair. I would argue, do they have two more ownership groups that will actually be competent, or will they get idiots? Because the league's problem to me isn't talent. The league's problem is operations. They have too many bad owners in front offices that don't know what the hell they're doing. See the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, you're just stuck in the same spot forever.
So, like, to me, it's about how much deeper the league feels and whether you have a chance or you have zero chance. The Blazers got the talent on roster to make some, foolish or not, think that they can hang. They can make this a legit series. Winning it is one thing. Keeping it around for a feisty-ass five games or six
In order for it to actually be a series for me, you got to get to six. A gentleman sweep to me is not a series.
But we could look back if they lose. Let's say they lose in five. We could look back and say, well, game one came down to the clutch time. Like, if you just get to 5 minutes
depends
and you're
within. Depends on how it looks in the picture. I get that.
Yeah, you could have a lot of clutch time losses, and we can say,
man, a shot here, a shot there, you could have won that game.
Really good performance, way to fight. You didn't lose. You didn't win it, but you had no chance because that team was that team. But in clutch time, if the Blazers could just get themselves to clutch time, that's all you're asking for, I think, in the series in general.
That's a fair point. It doesn't. If you're competitive in all the games and there's not blow, like the spread's tonight 10.5. Do you cover the number or not tonight? Sorry,
You keep thinking of three.
Keep thinking it's tonight. Damn it! So the spread on Sunday is 10.5. Covering the number is a competitive game. Not covering the number is a double digit loss.
They lose by less than 10. You're going to go, dude.
Yeah, all right.
Unless it's like super big backdoor Wimby.
Right. You're down by 20 the entire time, and somebody randomly gets hot off the bench, and they backdoor your way into a 10-point loss, and you cover the 10.5.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think other than that, competitive is getting to six games in the series.
Yep.
You do that, that's a success for me. I'm not asking you to win it. I'm not telling you that's the expectation.
Certainly.
You've already achieved whatever goals you had at the start of the year was to take a step, get into the playoffs, won the play-in. So.
Yep.
Progress has been made. You're playing with house money. If you get it to six, that's a massive win in this series.
Something I heard yesterday that kind of scared me. I'll tell you what that is. We'll get into the Blazers series a little bit more, probably in the final hour of the radio program.
We got to spray the line today.
We got to spray the line?
NBA playoff edition. I think we need to.
I like it. I did it while you were out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did other stuff.
I can't remember what the stuff was, but we had stuff.
We got stuff this weekend.
And I was like, let's do the stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
So spray the line sponsors are welcome at 503-864-6326. We're back with more